The Pillars of Creation by Terry Goodkind. Dedicated to the people in the United States intelligence community who for decades have valiantly fought to preserve life and liberty while being ridiculed, condemned, demonized, and shackled by the jackals of evil. Evil thinks not to beguile us by unveiling the terrible truth of its festering intent, but comes instead, disguised in the diaphanous robes of virtue, whispering sweet-sounding lies intended to seduce us into the dark bed of our eternal graves. Translated from Colo Bleisen's journal. Chapter 1. Picking through the dead man's pockets, Jensen Daggett came across the last thing in the world she would ever have expected to find. Startled, she sat back on her heels. The raw breeze ruffled her hair as she stared wide-eyed at the words written in precise, blocky letters on the small square of paper. The paper had been folded in half twice, carefully, so that the edges had been even. She blinked, half expecting the words to vanish like some grim illusion. They remained solid and all too real. Foolish though she knew the thought was, she still felt as if the dead soldier might be watching her for any reaction. Showing none outwardly, anyway, she stole a look at his eyes. They were dull and filmy. She had heard people say of the deceased that they looked like they were only sleeping. He didn't. His eyes looked dead. His pale lips were taut. His face was waxy. There was a purplish blush at the back of his bull neck. Of course he wasn't watching her. He was no longer watching anything. With his head turned to the side toward her, though, it almost seemed as if he might be looking at her. She could imagine he was. Up on the rocky hill behind her, bare branches clattered together in the wind like bones clacking. The paper in her trembling fingers seemed to be rattling with them. Her heart, already thumping at a brisk pace, started to pound harder. Jensen prided herself in her level-headedness. She knew she was letting her imagination get carried away, but she had never before seen a dead person, a person so grotesquely still. It was dreadful seeing someone who didn't breathe. She swallowed in an attempt to compose her own breathing, if not her nerves. Even if he was dead, Jensen didn't like him looking at her. So she stood, lifted the hem of her long skirts, and stepped around the body. She carefully folded the small piece of paper over twice the way it had been folded when she had found it, and slipped it into her pocket. She would have to worry about that later. Jensen knew how her mother would react to those two words on the paper. Determined to be finished with her search, she squatted on the other side of the man. With his face turned away, it almost seemed as if he were looking back up at the trail from where he had fallen, as if he might be wondering what had happened and how he had come to be at the bottom of the steep, rocky gorge with his neck broken. His cloak had no pockets. Two pouches were secured to his belt. One pouch held oil, whetstones, and a strop. The other was packed with jerky. Neither contained a name. If he'd known better, as she did, he would have taken the long way along the bottom of the cliff rather than traverse the trail across the top, where patches of black ice made it treacherous this time of year. Even if he didn't want to retreat the way he had come in order to climb down into the gorge, it would have been wiser for him to have made his way through the woods, despite the thick bramble that made travel difficult up there among the deadfall. Done was done. If she could find something that would tell her who he was, maybe she could find his kin or someone who knew him. They would want to know. She clung to the safety of the pretense. Almost against her will, Jensen returned to wondering what he had been doing out here. She feared that the carefully folded piece of paper told her only too clearly. Still, there could be some other reason. If she could just find it. She had to move his arm a little if she was to look in his other pocket. "Dear spirits, forgive me," she whispered as she grasped the dead limb. His unbending arm moved only with difficulty. Jensen's nose wrinkled with disgust. He was as cold as the ground he lay on, as cold as the sporadic raindrops that fell from the iron sky. This time of year it was almost always snow, driven before such a stiff west wind. The unusual intermittent mist and drizzle had surely made the icy places on the trail at the top even slicker. The dead man only proved it. She knew that if she stayed much longer, she would be caught out in the approaching winter rain. She was well aware that people exposed to such weather risked their lives. Fortunately, Jensen wasn't terribly far from home. If she didn't get home soon, though, her mother, worried at what could be taking so long, would probably come out after her. Jensen didn't want her mother getting soaked, too. Her mother would be waiting for the fish Jensen had retrieved from baited lines in the lake. For once, the lines they tended through holes in the ice had brought them a full stringer. The fish were lying dead on the other side of the dead man, where she had dropped them after making her grim discovery. He hadn't been there earlier, or she would have seen him on her way out to the lake. Taking a deep breath to gird her resolve, Jensen made herself return to her search. She imagined that some woman was probably wondering about her big, handsome soldier, worrying if he was safe, warm, and dry. He was none of that. Jensen would want someone to tell her mother, if it were she who had fallen and broken her neck. Her mother would understand if she delayed a bit to try to find out the man's identity. Jensen reconsidered. Her mother might understand, but she still wouldn't want Jensen anywhere near one of these soldiers. But he was dead. He couldn't hurt anyone now, much less her and her mother. Her mother would be even more troubled once Jensen showed her what was written on the little piece of paper. Jensen knew that what really drove her search was the hope for some other explanation. She desperately wanted it to be something else. That frantic need kept her beside his dead body when she wanted nothing so much as to run for home. If she didn't find anything to explain away his presence, then it would be best to cover him and hope that no one ever found him. Even if she had to stay out in the rain, she should cover him over as quickly as possible. She shouldn't wait. Then no one would ever know where he was. She made herself push her hand down into his trouser pocket all the way to the end. The flesh of his thigh was stiff. Her fingers hurriedly gathered up the nest of small objects at the bottom. Gasping for breath at the awful task, she pulled it all out in her fist. She bent close in the gathering gloom and opened her fingers for a look. On top were a flint, bone buttons, a small ball of twine, and a folded handkerchief. With one finger, she pushed the twine and handkerchief to the side, exposing a weighty clutch of coins, silver and gold. She let out a soft whistle at the sight of such wealth. She didn't think that soldiers were rich, but this man had 5 gold marks among a larger number of silver marks. A fortune by most any standard. All the silver pennies, not copper, silver, seemed insignificant by contrast, even though they alone were probably more than she had spent in the whole of her 20 years. The thought occurred to her that it was the first time in her life that she had ever held gold, or even silver, marks. The thought occurred to her that it might be plunder. She found no trinket from a woman, as she had hoped, so as to soften her worry about what sort of man he had been. Regrettably, nothing in the pocket told her anything of who he might be. Her nose wrinkled as she went about the chore of returning his possessions to his pocket. Some of the silver pennies spilled from her fist. She picked them all up from the wet, frozen ground and forced her hand into his pocket again in order to return them all to their rightful place. His pack might tell her more, but he was sprawled atop it, and she wasn't sure she wanted to try to have a look, since it was likely to hold only supplies. His pockets would have held anything he considered valuable, like the piece of paper. She supposed all the evidence that she really needed was in plain sight. He wore stiff leather armor under his dark cloak and tunic. At his hip was a simple but ruggedly made and wickedly sharp soldier's sword in a torn utilitarian black leather scabbard. The sword was broken at mid-length, no doubt in the long tumble from the trail. Her eyes glided more carefully over the remarkable knife sheathed at his belt. The hilt of the knife, gleaming in the gloom, was what had riveted her attention from the first instant. The sight of it had held her frozen until she realized its owner was dead. She was sure that no simple soldier would possess a knife that exquisitely crafted. It had to be more expensive than any knife she had ever seen. On the silver hilt was the ornate letter R. Even so, it was a thing of beauty. From a young age, her mother had taught her to use a knife. She wished her mother could have a knife as fine as this.
Jensen.
Jensen jumped at the whispered word. Not now, dear spirits, not now, not here.
Jensen.
Jensen was not a woman who hated much in life, but she hated the voice that sometimes came to her. She ignored it now, as always, forcing her fingers to move, to try to discover if there was anything else about the man that she should know. She checked the leather straps for concealed pockets, but found none. The tunic was a plain cut, without pockets.
Jensen,
came the voice again. She gritted her teeth. Leave me be, she said aloud, if under her breath.
Jensen.
It sounded different this time, almost as if the voice wasn't in her head, as it always was.
Leave me alone, she growled. Surrender,
came the dead murmur. She glanced up and saw the man's dead eyes staring at her. The first curtain of cold rain billowing in the wind felt like the icy fingers of spirits caressing her face. Her heart galloped yet faster. Her breath caught against her ragged pulls, like silk catching on dry skin. With her wide-eyed gaze locked on the dead soldier's face, she pushed with her feet, scuttling back across the gravel. She was being silly. She knew she was. The man was dead. He wasn't looking at her. He couldn't be. His stare was fixed in death, that's all. Like her stringer of dead fish, they weren't looking at anything. Neither was he. She was being silly. It only seemed he was looking at her. But even if the dead eyes were staring at nothing, she would just as soon that they weren't doing it in her direction.
Jensen.
Beyond, above the sharp rise of granite, the pine trees swayed from side to side in the wind, and the bare maple and oak waved their skeletal arms. But Jensen kept her gaze fixed on the dead man as she listened for the voice. The man's lips were still. She knew they would be. The voice was in her head. His face was still turned toward the trail from where he had fallen to his death. She had thought his lifeless sight had been turned in that direction too, but now his eyes seemed to be turned more toward her. Jensen curled her fingers around the hilt of her knife.
Jensen,
leave me be, I'll not surrender. She never knew what it was that the voice wanted her to surrender. Despite having been with her nearly her whole life, it had never said. She found refuge in that ambiguity. As if in answer to her thought, the voice came again.
Surrender your flesh, Jensen.
Jensen couldn't breathe.
Surrender your will.
She swallowed in terror. It had never said that before, never said anything she could understand. Often, she would faintly hear it, as if it were too far away to be clearly understood. Sometimes she thought she could hear the words, but they seemed to be in a strange language. She often heard it when she was falling asleep, calling to her in that distant, dead whisper. It spoke other words to her, she knew, but never so as she could understand more than her name and that frighteningly seductive single-word command to surrender. That word was always more forceful than any other. She could always hear it, even when she could hear no other. Her mother said that the voice was the man who, nearly Jensen's whole life, had wanted to kill her. Her mother said that he wanted to torment her. Jen, her mother would often say, it's all right. I'm here with you. His voice can't hurt you. Not wanting to burden her mother, Jensen often didn't tell her about the voice. But even if the voice couldn't hurt her, The man could, if he found her. At that moment, Jensen desperately wished for the protective comfort of her mother's arms. One day he would come for her. They both knew he would. Until then, he sent his voice. That's what her mother thought, anyway. As much as that explanation frightened her, Jensen preferred it to thinking herself mad. If she didn't have her own mind, she had nothing. "What's happened here?" Jensen gasped in a cry of fright as she spun, pulling her knife. She dropped into a half-crouch, feet spread, knife held in a death grip. It was no disembodied voice, this. A man was walking up the gully toward her. With the wind in her ears and the distraction of the dead man and the voice, she hadn't heard him coming. As big as he was, as close as he was, she knew that if she ran, and if he was of a mind, he could easily run her down. Chapter 2. The man slowed when he saw her reaction and her knife. "I didn't mean to give you a scare." His voice was pleasant enough. "Well, you did." Although the hood of his cloak was up, and she couldn't see his face clearly, he seemed to be taking in her red hair the way most people did when they saw her. "I can see that. I apologize." She didn't slacken her defensive posture in acceptance of the apology, but instead swept her gaze to the sides, checking to see if he was alone, to see if anyone else was with him and might be sneaking up on her. She felt a fool for being caught by surprise like that. In the back of her mind, she knew she couldn't ever really be safe. It didn't necessarily take stealth. Even simple carelessness on her part could at any time bring the end. She felt a sense of forlorn doom at how easily it could happen. If this man could walk up in broad daylight and startle her so easily, what did that say of her hopelessly extravagant dream that one day her life could be her own? The dark rock wall of the cliff glistened in the wet. The wind-swept gully was deserted of anyone but her and the two men, the dead one and the one alive. Jensen was not given to imagining sinister faces lurking in forest shadows, as she had been as a child. The dark places in among the trees were empty. The man stopped a dozen paces away. By his posture, it wasn't fear of her knife that halted him, but fear of causing her a worse fright. He stared openly at her, seemingly lost in some private thought. He quickly recovered from whatever it was about her face that so held his gaze. "I can understand why a woman would have cause to be frightened when a stranger suddenly walks up on her. I would have passed on by without alarming you, but I saw that fellow on the ground and you there bent over him. I thought you might need help, so I rushed over." The cold wind pressed his dark green cloak against his sinewy build and lifted the other's side away to reveal his well-cut but simple clothes. His cloak's hood covered his head against the first trailers of rain, leaving his face somewhat indistinct in its shadow. His smile was one of courteous intent, no more. He wore the smile well. "He's dead," was all she could think to say. Jensen was unaccustomed to speaking to strangers. She was unaccustomed to speaking to anyone but her mother. She was unsure as to what to say, how to react, especially under the circumstances. "Oh, I'm sorry." He stretched his neck a little, without coming any closer, trying to see the man on the ground. Jensen thought it a considerate thing to do, not trying to come closer to someone who was clearly nervous. She hated that she was so obvious. She had always hoped she might appear to others somewhat inscrutable. His gaze lifted from the dead man to her knife to her face. "I suppose you had cause." Perplexed for a second, she finally grasped his meaning and blurted out, "I didn't do it." He shrugged. "Sorry. From over here, I can't tell what happened." Jensen felt awkward holding a knife on the man. She lowered the arm with the weapon. "I didn't mean to appear a madwoman. You just startled the wits out of me." His smile warmed. "I understand. No harm done. So, what happened?" Jensen gestured with her empty hand toward the cliff face. I think he fell from the trail up there. His neck's broken. At least I think it is. I only just discovered him. I don't see any other footprints. My guess is that he was killed in the fall. As Jensen returned her knife to its sheath on her belt, he considered the cliff. Glad I took the bottom rather than the trail up there. She inclined her head in invitation toward the dead man. I was looking for something that might tell me who he was. I thought maybe I should notify someone, but I haven't found anything. The man's boots crunched through the coarse gravel as he approached. He knelt on the other side of the body rather than beside her, perhaps to give the knife-wielding madwoman a precautionary bit of space so she would feel a little less jumpy. I guess you were right, he said after taking in the abnormal cant of the head. Looks like he's been here at least part of the day. I was through here earlier. Those are my tracks there. I don't see any others about. She gestured toward her catch, lying just behind her. When I went to the lake to check my lines earlier, he wasn't here. He twisted his head in order to better study the still face. Any idea who he was? No, I don't have a clue other than that he's a soldier. The man looked up. Any idea what kind of soldier? Jensen's brow drew tight. What kind? He's a Daharan soldier. She lowered herself to the ground in order to look at the stranger more directly. Where are you from that you wouldn't recognize a Daharan soldier? He ran his hand under his cloak's hood and rubbed it along the side of his neck. I'm just a traveler passing through. He looked as tired as he sounded. The answer perplexed her. I've moved around my whole life, and I don't know of anyone who wouldn't know a Daharan soldier when they saw one. How can you not? I'm new to Dahara. That's not possible. Dahara covers most of the world. This time his smile betrayed amusement. Is that so? She could feel her face heat, and she knew it must be going red with how ignorant of the world at large she had shown herself to be. Well, doesn't it? He shook his head. No, I'm from far to the south, beyond the land that is Dahara. She stared in wonder, her chagrin evaporating in light of the implications that came into her head at such an astonishing notion. Perhaps her dream might not be so extravagant. And what are you doing here in Dahara? I told you, traveling. He sounded weary. She knew how exhausting it could be to travel. His tone turned more serious. I know he is a Daharan soldier. You misunderstood me. What I meant was, what kind of soldier? A man belonging to a local regiment? A man stationed here? A soldier on his way home for a visit? A soldier going for a drink in town? A scout? Her sense of alarm rose. A scout? What would he be scouting for in his own homeland? The man looked off at the low dark clouds. I don't know. I was only wondering if you knew anything of him. No, of course not. I just found him. Are these Daharan soldiers dangerous? I mean, do they bother folks? Folks just traveling through? Her gaze fled his questioning eyes. I don't know. I guess they could be. She feared to say too much, but she wouldn't want him to end up in trouble because she said too little. What do you suppose a lone soldier was doing way out here? Soldiers aren't often alone. I don't know. Why do you suppose a simple woman would know more about soldiering than a man of the world who travels about? Don't you have any ideas of your own? Maybe he was just on his way home for a visit or something. Maybe he was thinking about a girl back home and so he wasn't paying attention like he should have been. Maybe that's why he slipped and fell. He rubbed his neck again, as if he were in pain. I'm sorry. I guess I'm not making much sense. I'm a little tired. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly. Maybe I was only concerned for you. For me? What do you mean? I mean that soldiers belong to units of one sort or another. Other soldiers know them and know where they're supposed to be. Soldiers don't just go off alone when they want to. They aren't like some lone trapper who could vanish and no one would know. Or some lone traveler? An easy grin softened his expression. Or some lone traveler. The grin withered. The point is, other soldiers will likely look for him. If they come upon his body here, they'll bring in troops to prevent anyone from leaving the area. Once they gather anyone they can find, they'll start asking questions. From what I've heard about Daharan soldiers, they know how to ask questions. They'll want to know every detail about every person they question. Jensen's middle cramped in sick, churning consternation. The last thing in the world she wanted was Daharan soldiers asking questions of her or her mother. This dead soldier could end up being the death of them. But what are the chances? I'm only saying that I'd not like to have this fellow's friends come along and decide that someone has to pay for his death. They might not see it as an accident. Soldiers get stirred up by the death of a comrade, even if it was an accident. You and I are the only two around. I'd not like to have a bunch of soldiers discover him and decide to blame us. You mean, even if it was an accident, they might seize an innocent person and blame them for it? I don't know. But in my experience, that's the way soldiers are. When they're angry, they find someone to blame. But they can't blame us. You weren't even here, and I was only going to tend my fishing lines. He planted an elbow on his knee and leaned over the dead man toward her. And this soldier, going about his business for the great Daharan Empire, saw a beautiful young woman strutting along and was so distracted by her that he slipped and fell. I wasn't strutting. I don't mean to suggest you were. I only meant to show you how people can find blame when they decide they want to. She'd not thought of that. They were Daharan soldiers. Such behavior would hardly be out of the question. The rest of what he'd said registered in her mind. Jensen had never before had a man call her beautiful. It flustered her, coming so unexpectedly and out of place as it did, in the middle of such a worry. Since she didn't have any idea how to react to the compliment, and since there were so many more important thoughts commanding her emotions, she ignored it. If they find him, the man said, then, at the least, they're going to collect anyone around and question them long and hard. All the ugly implications were becoming all too real. The day of doom was suddenly looming near. What do you think we should do? He thought it over for a moment. Well, if they do come by, but don't find him, then they won't have any reason to stop and question the people here. If they don't find him, they'll go somewhere else to keep looking for him. He rose and looked around. Ground's too hard to dig a grave. He pulled his hood farther forward to shield his eyes from the mist as he searched. He pointed to a spot near the base of the cliff. There's a deep cleft that looks big enough. We could put him in there and cover him over with gravel and rocks. Best burial we can manage at this time of the year. And probably more than he deserved. She would just as soon leave him, but that wouldn't be wise. Covering him up was what she had planned on doing before the stranger happened along. This would be a better way to do it. There would be less chance that animals would uncover him for passing soldiers to discover. Seeing her trying to hastily weigh the various ramifications and mistaking it for reluctance, he spoke in soft assurance. The man is dead. Nothing can be done about it. It was an accident. Why let that accident bring trouble? We didn't do anything wrong. We weren't even here when it happened. I say we bury him and go on with our lives without Daharan soldiers becoming unjustly involved. Jensen stood. The man might be right about soldiers coming upon a dead friend and deciding to question people. There was abundant reason to be worried about the dead Daharan soldier without this new concern. She thought again about the piece of paper she'd found in his pocket. That would be reason enough, without any other. If the piece of paper was what she thought it might be, then questioning would only be the beginning of the ordeal. Agreed, she said. If we're to do it, let's be quick. He smiled, more relief than anything, she thought. Then, turning to face her more squarely, he pushed his hood back off his head the way men did out of respect for a woman. Jensen was shocked to see, even though he was at most only 6 or 7 years older than she, that his cropped hair was as white as snow. She gazed at it with much the same sense of wonder as people gazed at her red hair. With the shadows of the hood gone, she saw that his eyes were as blue as hers, as blue as people said her father's had been. The combination of his short white hair and those blue eyes was arresting. The way they both went with his clean-shaven face was singularly appealing. It all fit together with his features in a way that seemed completely right. He held his hand out across the dead soldier. "My name is Sebastian." She hesitated a moment, but then offered her hand in return. Even though his was big and no doubt powerful, he didn't squeeze her hand to prove it the way some men did. The unnatural warmth of the hand surprised her. "Are you going to tell me your name?" "I'm Jensen Daggett."
"Jensen."
He smiled his pleasure at the sound of it. She felt her face going red again. Instead of noticing, he immediately set to the task by grabbing the soldier under his arms and giving him a tug. The body moved only a short distance with each mighty pull. The soldier had been a huge man. Now he was a huge dead weight. Jensen seized the soldier's cloak at the shoulder to help. Sebastian moved his hold to the cloak at the other shoulder, and together they dragged the weight of the man, who loomed as dangerous to her in death as he would have in life, across the gravel and slick patches of smooth rock. Still panting from the effort, and before pushing the soldier into the crevice that was to be his final resting place, Sebastian rolled him over. Jensen saw for the first time that he wore a short sword, strapped over his shoulder, under his pack. She hadn't seen it before because he was lying on it. Hooked on the weapons belt around his waist at the small of his back, hung a crescent-bladed battle axe. Jensen's level of apprehension rose at seeing how heavily armed the soldier had been. Regular soldiers didn't carry this many weapons, or a knife like he had. Sebastian tugged the straps of the pack down off the arms. He unstrapped the short sword and set it aside. He pulled off the weapons belt and tossed it atop the sword. "Nothing too unusual in the pack," he said after a brief inspection. He added the pack to the short sword, the weapons belt, and the axe. Sebastian started searching the dead man's pockets. Jensen was about to question what he was doing when she recalled that she had done the same. She was somewhat more disturbed when he returned the other items after picking out the money. She thought it rather cold-blooded stealing from the dead. Sebastian held the money out to her. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Take it." He offered the money again, more insistently this time. "What good is it going to do in the ground? Money is of use to relieve the suffering of the living, not the dead. You think the good spirits will ask him for the price of a bright and pleasant eternity?" He was a Daharan soldier. Jensen expected the keeper of the underworld would have something somewhat more dark in store for this man's eternity. "But it's not mine." He frowned a reproving look. "Consider it partial compensation for all you've suffered." She felt her flesh go cold. How could he know? They were always so careful. "What do you mean?" "The years taken off your life by the fright this fellow gave you today." Jensen finally was able to let her breath go in a silent sigh. She had to stop fearing the worst in what people said. She allowed Sebastian to put the coins in her hand. "All right, but I think you should have half for helping me." She handed 3 gold marks back. He grasped her hand with his other and pressed all 3 coins into her palm. "Take it. It's yours now." Jensen thought of what this much money could mean. She nodded. "My mother has had a hard life. She could use it. I will give it to my mother." "I hope it helps you both then. Let it be this man's last good act, helping you and your mother."
"Your hands are warm."
By the look in his eyes, she thought she knew why. She said no more. He nodded and confirmed her suspicion.
I've got a touch of fever. I came down with it this morning. When we get finished with this business, I'm hoping to get to the next town and rest up in a dry room for a while. I just need some rest to regain my strength.
Town is too far for you to make today.
You sure? I can make good time. I'm used to traveling.
So am I, Jensen said. And it takes me most of a day to make it.
There's only a couple of hours of light left, and we have yet to finish with this task. Not even a fast horse would get you near town today.
Sebastian let out a sigh. Well, I guess I'll make do.
He knelt again and rolled the soldier partway over in order to unstrap the knife. The sheath, fine-grained black leather, was trimmed with silver to match the handle and decorated with the same ornate emblem. On one knee, Sebastian held the gleaming sheathed knife up to her.
Silly to bury such a fine weapon. Here you go. Better than that piece of junk you showed me before.
Jensen stood stunned and confused.
But you should keep it.
I'll take the others. More to my taste, anyway. The knife is yours. Sebastian's rule.
Sebastian's rule?
Beauty belongs with beauty. Jensen blushed at the intended compliment. But this was not a thing of beauty. He had no idea of the ugliness this represented.
Any idea what the R in the hilt stands for?
Oh, yes, she wanted to say. She knew only too well what it represented. That was the ugliness.
It stands for the House of Rahl.
House of Rahl?
Lord Rahl, the ruler of Dahara,
she said in simple explanation of a nightmare.
Chapter 3. By the time they were finished with the laborious task of covering the troublesome body of the dead Daharan soldier, Jensen's arms were weak with fatigue. The damp wind scything through her clothes felt like it cut to the bone. Her ears and nose and fingers were numb. Sebastian's face was covered in a sheen of sweat. But the dead man was at last buried under gravel and then rocks that were in abundance at the base of the cliff. Animals were not likely to be able to dig through all the heavy stone to get at the body. The worms would feast undisturbed. Sebastian had said a few simple words, asking the Creator to welcome the man's soul into eternity. He made no plea for mercy in his judgment, and neither did Jensen. As she finished scattering gravel with a heavy branch and her feet, obscuring the marks left by their work, she gave the area a critical examination and was relieved to see that no one would ever suspect that a person lay buried there. If soldiers came through, they wouldn't realize that one of their own had met his end here. They would have no reason to question local people, except, perhaps, to ask if anyone had seen him. That would be a simple enough lie to feed them, and one easily swallowed. Jensen pressed her hand against Sebastian's forehead. It confirmed her fears.
You're burning with fever.
We're done now. I can rest more easily, not having to worry that soldiers will be rousting me out of my bedroll to ask me questions at the point of a sword. She wondered where he was going to sleep. The drizzle was thickening. She expected it would soon be raining. Given the persistence of the darkening clouds, once it started, it would likely rain the whole night. Cold rain soaking him to the skin would only further inflame his fever. Such a winter rain could easily kill someone who lacked proper shelter. She watched as Sebastian strapped the weapons belt around his waist. He didn't place the axe at the small of his back the way the soldier had worn it, but rather positioned it at his right hip. After testing its edge and finding it satisfactory, he fastened the short sword to the left side of the belt. Both weapons were placed so as to come readily to hand. When he'd finished, he flipped his heavy green cloak closed over it all. He seemed again a simple traveler. She suspected he was more. He had his secrets. He wore them casually, almost in the open. She wore hers uneasily and held close. He handled the sword with the kind of smooth ease that came only with long acquaintance. She knew because she handled a knife with effortless grace, and such proficiency had come only with experience and continual practice. Some mothers taught their daughters to sew
and cook. Jensen's mother didn't think sewing would save her daughter. Not that a knife would either, but it was better protection than needle and thread. Sebastian lifted the dead man's pack and threw back the flap. "We'll divide the supplies. Do you want the pack?"
"You should keep the supplies and the pack,"
Jensen said as she retrieved her stringer of fish. He agreed with a nod. He appraised the sky as he cinched the pack closed.
"I'd best be on my way then."
"Where?" His weary eyelids blinked at the question.
"No place special. Traveling. I guess I'll walk for a while, and then I suppose I'd better try to find some shelter."
"Rain is coming," she said. "It doesn't take a prophet to tell that."
He smiled. "Guess not."
His eyes bore the prospect of what lay ahead with resigned acceptance. He swiped his hand back over his wet spikes of white hair, then pulled up his hood.
"Well, take care of yourself, Jensen Daggett. Give my best to your mother. She raised a lovely daughter."
Jensen smiled and acknowledged his words with a single nod. She stood facing the damp wind as she watched him turn and start off across the flat expanse of gravel. Craggy rock walls rose up all around, their snow-crusted shoulders disappearing into the low gray overcast that concealed the bulk of the mountains and the nearly endless range of high peaks. It seemed so funny, so freakish, so futile, that in all this vast country their paths should cross so briefly, at that instant in time, for such a tragic moment, as one life ended, and then that they would both go off again into that infinite oblivion of life. Jensen's heart pounded in her ears as she listened to his footsteps crunching across the jagged gravel, watched his long strides carrying him away. With a sense of urgency, she debated what she should do. Was she always to turn away from people, to hide? Was she always to forfeit even small snatches of what it was like to live life because of a crime she did not commit? Dare she risk this? She knew what her mother would say, but her mother loved her dearly, and so would not say it out of cruelty.
"Sebastian?"
He looked back over his shoulder, waiting for her to speak.
"If you don't have shelter, you may not live to see tomorrow. I wouldn't like it if I knew you were out here with a fever getting soaked to the skin."
He stood watching her, the drizzle drifting between them.
"I wouldn't like that either. I'll mind your words and do my best to find some shelter."
Before he could turn away again, she lifted her hand, gesturing off in the other direction. She saw that her fingers were trembling.
"You could come home with me. Would your mother mind?"
Her mother would be in a panic. Her mother would never allow a stranger, despite what help he had been, to sleep in the house. Her mother wouldn't sleep a wink all night with a stranger anywhere near. But if Sebastian stayed out with a fever, he could die. Jensen's mother would not wish that on this man. Her mother had a kind heart. That loving concern, not malice, was the reason she was so protective of Jensen.
"The house is small, but there's room in the cave where we keep the animals. If you wouldn't mind, you could sleep there. It's not as bad as it sounds. I've slept there myself on occasion, when the house felt too confining. I'd make you a fire near the entrance. You'd be warm and could get the rest you need."
He looked reluctant. Jensen held up her stringer of fish.
"We could feed you," she said, sweetening the offer. "You would at least have a good meal along with a warm rest. I think you need both. You helped me, let me help you."
His smile, one of gratitude, returned.
"You're a kind woman, Jensen. If your mother will allow it, I will accept your offer."
She lifted her cloak open, displaying the fine knife in its sheath, which she had tucked behind her belt.
"We'll offer her the knife. She will value it."
His smile, warm and suddenly lighthearted with amusement, was as pleasant a smile as Jensen had ever seen.
"I don't think two knife-wielding women need lose any sleep over a stranger with a fever."
That was Jensen's thought, but she didn't admit it. She hoped her mother would see it that way, too. It's settled then. Come along before the rain catches us out.
Sebastian trotted to catch up with her as she started out. She lifted the pack from his hand and shouldered it. With his own pack and his new weapons, he had enough to carry in his weakened condition. Chapter 4
Wait here, Jensen said in a low voice. I'll go tell her that we have a guest.
Sebastian dropped heavily onto a low projection of rock that made a convenient seat. You just tell her what I said, that I'll understand if she doesn't want a stranger spending the night at your place. I know it wouldn't be an unreasonable fear.
Jensen considered him with a calm and somber demeanor.
My mother and I have reason not to fear a visitor.
She was not alluding to common weapons, and by her tone he knew it. For the first time since she had met him, she saw a spark of uncertainty in Sebastian's steady blue eyes, a shadow of uneasiness not elicited by her expertise with a knife. A hint of a smile came in turn to Jensen's lips as she watched him considering what manner of dark danger she might represent.
Don't worry. Only those bringing trouble would have cause to fear being here.
He lifted his hands in a gesture of surrender. Then I'm as safe as a babe in his mother's arms. Jensen left Sebastian to wait on the rock while she made her way up the winding path, through sheltering spruce, using twisted roots as steps up, toward her house set back in a clutch of oak on a small shelf in the side of a mountain.